the FAA to delay its sleep apnea policy. Is the F-35 a bad deal? And Scots want black boxes on helicopters. This is Aero News for Friday, December 20th, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. EAA Aeromedical Advisory Council Chairman Dr. Stephen Leonard learned from the FAA Thursday that the agency will delay implementation of its new sleep apnea policy planned for next month in order to gather additional input from the aviation and medical community. The new policy, which would mandate obstructive sleep apnea testing and evaluation for pilots with a body mass index of 40 and above, was scheduled to go into effect in January. EAA and its Aeromedical Council objected strenuously to the policy, saying such testing was not FAA's role, was of questionable medical use relating to pilot fitness, would cause additional financial burdens to pilots, and would overburden an already taxed special issuance system for medical certificates. The FAA is now planning a meeting as early as next month with aviation and medical stakeholders, including general aviation organizations and aviation medical examiners. Congress had also entered into the debate, as a bill introduced in the House of Representatives earlier this month would prevent the FAA from implementing the policy without a full rulemaking and public comment process. That bill has yet to be approved by the House. A study released this week by the nonprofit RAND Corporation indicates that building one airplane to serve three military branches will not save money over building separate airplanes for the Air Force, Navy, and the Marine Corps. The study says rather than saving money, it's likely to be more expensive. The initial goal was for the F-35 to have 80% common airframe components across the three variants. Bloomberg News reports, however, that by 2008, that estimate varied to between 27 and 43% as challenges in development were addressed and prime contractor Lockheed Martin looked for weight savings on the airplane. Maximum commonality in meeting different service requirements has been difficult to resolve. The report also points out that because of the one-plane-fits-all approach, Lockheed Martin is now the only prime contractor with an advanced stealth fighter program for the foreseeable future. The study found that the lack of competition in that arena may lead to less innovation and higher prices. Lawyers for the families of victims of the Police Scotland helicopter crash in Glasgow say they want black boxes, flight data recorders, cockpit voice recorders, to be fitted to all passenger helicopters. The Scottish newspaper, The Scotsman, reports that the demand came as the Glasgow City Council announced that donations to a fund to aid those affected had reached nearly £220,000. That's more than $360,000. The Police Scotland Eurocopter EC-135 crashed into the crowded Glasgow pub, the Clutha Bar, some 3 weeks ago, killing 10 and injuring more than two dozen. The helicopter was not equipped with either a flight data recorder or cockpit voice recorder. Officials say this is because the aircraft is below the minimum weight where such devices are required. The British Airline Pilots Association also cited the difficulty and expense of installing the necessary sensors in smaller helicopters. Jim Morris, an attorney for the victims and their families, said, however, quote, "It is not acceptable in this day and age that technology which offers such clear benefits is not being used in all modern passenger-carrying helicopters operating in UK airspace." End quote. The accident is still under investigation. Skycraft Airplanes remains 2 months away from completing certification for its SD-1 mini sport, with its current first delivery expected to be made in March. The company reported this on its website this week. As flight testing has progressed, Skycraft has continued the process of fine-tuning its aircraft. Currently, the SD-1 is undergoing two key performance improvements. The first is a computer update to the fuel-injected Hirth F-23 engine that will allow for a smoother ride, and the second is an upgrade to the exhaust system that will both reduce vibration during flight and increase power output from the engine. Skycraft's mission is to build the highest-performing light sport aircraft on the market. Delta Airlines CEO Richard Anderson sent out a company-wide memo to the carrier's 80,000 employees worldwide on Wednesday, saying that voice calls will not be allowed on Delta or Delta Connection flights, regardless of any decision by the FCC or the FAA. In the memo, Anderson said that the decision is based on customer research and direct feedback. Anderson said Delta has moved quickly when technological and regulatory breakthroughs provide opportunities to make flying better for its customers, but that, quote, our frequent flyers believe voice calls in the cabin would be a disruption to the travel experience, end quote. When Aero News continues, a Virginia high school gets a VIP visit. Sometimes it pays to file a flight plan. And what would your choice be?
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
The True Blue Power TS-835 series emergency power supply features lithium iron phosphate technology, resulting in an EPS that is 63% lighter than lead acid designs with a 10-year life expectancy. Available from your local avionics dealer.
Aero News continues now for Friday, December 20th. I'm Glenn Moyer. NASA Administrator Charles Bolden is visiting a suburban Washington school today, Friday, December the 20th, where high school students built a small satellite that was launched into space in November. The satellite, the TJ-3SAT, was made at Thomas Jefferson High School for Science and Technology in Alexandria, Virginia. TJ-3SAT is a CubeSat, a class of research spacecraft called nanosatellites, which measure approximately 4 inches long, have a volume of about 1 quart, and weigh about 3 pounds. TJ-3SAT contains a voice synthesizer module that will take written phrases in the form of code and produce a phonetic voice reading on the satellite's downlink frequencies. TJ-3SAT is the first NASA-sponsored CubeSat developed by high school students. The pilot of a single-engine Cessna from Utah found himself on the wrong side of the law last Friday when he landed at Newcastle Airport in western Pennsylvania, just north of Pittsburgh. The pilot, identified as Ken Barton Burroughs of Orem, Utah, made a refueling stop at the municipal airport. His flight, which, according to court documents, there's a clue, had originated at a small airport in Northern California, and it caught the attention of Homeland Security as he hopscotched across the country without filing a flight plan from a small airport to a small airport to a small airport, avoiding areas where he would be tracked by radar. DHS began following Burroughs with a Black Hawk helicopter, and when he landed, about 6:30 last Friday, he was detained by DHS and the airplane was searched. Well, the Elwood City Ledger reports that the plane, which had dark-tinted windows, was found to contain about 240 pounds of marijuana, with an estimated street value of about $1.2 million. DHS determined that Burroughs was not a threat to national security and handed the case off to local authorities. His plane, which he said he had bought in 2012 for $165,000, was immediately seized by federal authorities and then flown to its intended destination in Rhode Island, where, guess what, the dealer expecting delivery of the pot was also arrested, although he has not been identified. Burroughs, meanwhile, faces multiple charges of possession of a controlled substance with intent to deliver. He's being held in Pennsylvania in lieu of $250,000 bond. The question is a simple one, really. The eagle or the flag? Saying he wants all employees to have a voice in the identity of the new American Airlines, CEO Doug Parker sent an open letter to company employees asking them to choose the airline's new livery. Employees have until January 2nd to make their preference known for one of two options, the existing American AA Eagle or a new flag option that was actually rolled out before the merger with U.S. Airways was approved. In the letter posted on Parker's company blog, the CEO said it would not be possible to continue with the buffed silver look American has used for years because it's not compatible with the material used to construct Airbus airplanes. He also said that composite airplanes, such as the Boeing Dreamliner and the Airbus A350, cannot be converted to the traditional shiny metallic look. As for why there is truly no new option, Parker said in his blog, quote, "It would be irresponsible for us to start over from scratch. There are currently more than 200 aircraft in the new livery and the new flight symbol, or Eagle, as it's sometimes called, and the related signage is up in many airports and facilities already. One of our five imperatives at American is provide a return for our investors, and we can't do that by spending their capital redoing a lot of work that has just recently been accomplished." End quote. The airline, by the way, has also been asking for public input on Facebook. And not that it matters, I voted for the flag. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks so much for listening. You're now cleared for departure.